Lay of the Land is an independent production and has a time brokerage agreement with Devil Radio. Opinions expressed may not reflect those of this station, our staff, or our sponsors. Enjoy.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like.
Hi everyone, this is Nate Tim on Lay of the Land, a show about life and politics in rural Wisconsin. Thank you for joining me. I'm grateful for all of you who've tuned in this evening. Looking forward to sharing a range of ideas and insights about rural Wisconsin, a place that many of us cherish. Of course, I say this with great affection because I've lived here my whole life, and many of you, I'm sure, have too. Or at least you've spent time hunting or fishing, doing all kinds of outdoor activities. Wisconsin's a great place for that, as we all know. And I hope the time we spend together will bring back some warm memories of times you've spent, people you've known in rural Wisconsin. As far as I'm concerned, if you want a little background on me, I grew up on a dairy farm in central Wisconsin. In those days, it was called a diversified dairy farm. That was the University of Wisconsin's idea of saying a place that people raised everything they could. Of course, the idea was if you raised a lot of different things, that maybe one of them at least would be successful. So on our farm, we had everything from cows, pigs, chickens, ducks, geese. The only thing I guess we didn't have was sheep. We had plenty of cats and dogs, and it was a great place to grow up. By central Wisconsin, I'm talking about 25 miles south of Stevens Point, Washira County. The farm was 102 acres, which was founded by my grandfather, who actually broke much of the farm out of the wilderness, pulled out trees. Can you think of that? With manual labor and horses. So my parents operated the farm for 62 years. Probably not unlike many of you who are listening to the show, you had family members who spent a lot of years growing up and working the farm. And, of course, farming is a seven-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year operation. My dad got up, my mom got up many years at 4:30 in the morning and didn't go to bed until probably 9 o'clock at night. Later on, I came on board and produced cash crops for 20 years. Parts of that was on the side. But I got a good idea, of course, what farming is all about. Right now, my son operates the farm, so like many of you, a multi-generational farm. So I hope to hear from many of you about, as you call in over the weeks we have this show, tell me about your family and time you've spent in rural Wisconsin. Of course, the story of rural Wisconsin is a story of change, migrating from farming, which was probably much like farming at biblical times, to farming today, which is much like, you know, the 22nd century. When you think about people plowing with horses, not too unlike people plowing with oxen in biblical times. And now we've got tractors being guided by computers using signals off satellites. A bit of a different world we're living in. So I would like to bring on, shortly I'll bring on my guest, Jerry Apps. Jerry grew up actually 5 miles from me. So he and I share a lot of common background. Jerry has written many, many books about rural Wisconsin. He has also produced a number of TV programs on educational television. As a matter of fact, he's got one in process right now, and I'll let him tell you about that. So, Jerry, I'm ready to bring you on, and you can tell us about some of the projects you're working on right now, and then we'll get into some discussion about some of our common tradition and heritage of Wisconsin farming. Jerry Apps.
Sure, Nate. I'm more than happy to be a part of your program. And as considering what I'm working on right now, I'm just completing a book on the history of the county fairs in Wisconsin and the history of the state fair, which is just now in operation. And that's been a terrifically complicated project as I've tried to ferret out the histories of each of the county fairs in the state. And I also, as a 4-H member, had my own stories to tell about the 10 years that I attended the Washera County Fair exhibiting calves. I'm also in the early stages of doing, can you believe this, the 6th documentary for PBS Wisconsin. All of them, in one way or another, deal with rural Wisconsin and how it was and how it is and something about how it's changing. And that the new project is really a little different than some of the earlier ones, because what we're focusing on is food as it related to early farm life. And the show is in many ways based on my book, Farm Country Cookbook, which my daughter Susan and I wrote. And it features the recipes and the procedures followed by my mother back in the day when we had no electricity and our the cook stove was a wood-burning cook stove, and there was no indoor plumbing. And when you think about it today, how in the world was she able to do all of what she did with so little in the way of what we take for granted today? So those are two of the projects I'm in the midst of working on right now. And I'm always working on other projects as well. But these are the two that I'm giving some attention to right now.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. Yeah, when you talk about the cook stove, that brings back a lot of nostalgic thoughts. My mom, of course, cooked on a wood cook stove also, and probably many of my listeners out there can recall a grandmother or some a member of their rural family who used a cook stove. And those women were really masters at figuring out how to use wood and how to use that stove so as to produce a wonderful finished product without burning it up or serving it raw. And my mom was working outside all the time, so she wasn't standing there looking at the stove.
You know what? A little aside, people have asked Susie and me, well, how did you, if you had a wood-burning stove, how did you know what the temperature was? And my mother would say, well, for heaven's sakes, all you had to do is open the oven door and put your hand in, and you knew what the temperature was, and you knew, she knew from experience that putting her hand in the oven, the temperature that was proper for baking bread, for example. The other skill that she had, which is, you alluded to it, she knew the difference, of course, between oak wood and pine wood, and knew when to put pine wood in the stove and when to put oak wood into the stove. And when people today say, well, what in the world's that got to do with cooking? And everything to do with cooking, but that's how she managed the temperature.
Yep, exactly. Jerry, I'm going to ask you a question in our next segment that's going to test whether you are a real native to the area that you and I grew up in. So be ready for that. It's going to be a geography. It's going to be a geography question, and I'm going to put money on the fact you're going to get it right. But
I better get it right. I still have a farm there.
So one of the things I was going to ask you is, when my show has got this expression "lay of the land," what does that mean to you?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because my dad had a fifth grade education. My mother had seventh grade education, and my dad, when we would go into a new area, say we were going to look at another farm for whatever reason, we weren't buying land, but my dad, the first thing would say, we've got to look at the lay of the land.
There you go.
And people. What in the world does that mean to a lot of people? Well, it means a lot.
Yes, it does. We're going to be going away here for a minute, Jerry. And
okay.
So we'll come back and talk about that some more. Thanks to all of you folks who are listening. We'll be back in a minute with my guest, Jerry Apps. Thank you.